Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So I told you, the Philadelphia Inquirer said, and I wanted to explore this. The Philadelphia Inquirer said in their editorial, making national news over the craziness of this. In fact, the debate about the debate is misplaced. The only person who should withdraw from the race is Trump. Philadelphia Inquirer, picture over there at the ivory tower. And here's the part. They go on to say, his 8 years have been marked by chaos, corruption, incivility. To build himself up, Trump constantly tears the country down. Now, think about these people. Who tears the country down more than these progressives and people like the Philadelphia Inquirer? There is no shining city on the hill. It's just mourning, M-O-U-R-N, in America.
Shining?
That's right. Let me check the spelling. Now, they got the spelling right.
Oh, good job.
Throughout the debate, Trump repeatedly said, we're a failing country. He called the United States a third world nation. He said, we're living in hell and very close to World War III. People are dying all over the place, Trump said. We're literally an uncivilized country now. Now, whether you think that's a tad much or not, here's the point. Isn't it funny when we call out what progressives have created, say in the Kennedy administration with Outlaw, Larry Krasner, etc., they suddenly get on their high horse and they're defending America. Would the Philadelphia Inquirer say, though, America is the greatest country in the history of the world? Would they say that American exceptionalism ought to be the rule taught in schools? I just wonder if the editorial board would agree with that. We also say that. But what we're indicating is the people that are running it now have taken something that great and they've diminished it and they continue to diminish it. Oh, I don't know. Like the inflation rate diminishing the average American? Is that running down the country? Is that something to overlook? It's a curious thing. Now, you can say, well, Trump ought to put it this way. And I had to agree with that or be more precise. But the notion that we're the ones running down the country when we point out how they've diminished America and will continue to diminish America, that's out of bounds. But when they strike at the basic principles that guide the average patriotic America, that's okay. That's not something we should worry about. They're the ones that are correct. We overdo it about America. And it's on my mind because of July 4th, and I'll probably do it on July 3rd down at Mulligan's. I happened to see this. The DJ may have sent it to me. Annually, Wallet Hub puts out the most patriotic states in America. And they claim, based upon a series of markers, that, the most patriotic state in America, they say, total score, is Virginia. What I was interested in is that they say that Pennsylvania is way behind New Jersey, Dan. New Jersey's number 30. Pennsylvania is number 40 as far as patriotism. And last place is Arkansas. What?
Really?
Behind New York. Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
No. Can you imagine? We're less patriotic than New Jersey. What the heck is up with that? Does Josh Shapiro know that? So when we're down at Mulligan's, that's the day before. We might get into some of that stuff. It's the day we think about patriotism. Why is it, though, they want to play this game? When we're running down the country, we're running down Philadelphia. When we talk about Krasner, when we talk about Biden. But when they talk, and particularly say in schools, we shouldn't be indoctrinating kids. We have to see the critical race theory. We have to see the bad side of America. You're whitewashing everything. We say, no, we're telling the truth about it. But you go too far in your attacks on our mindset about America. It's funny, that spin, but you see it constantly. And Trump gets them crazy when it comes. How dare you? All righty, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Here is this cut 13. Little story, Dan. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz from Florida. I did the Lou Dobbs show, and I decided, first time I did it, when it was really, really hot. This was the hottest ever, when he was on CNN. And I was stuck in the green room with Debbie Wasserman Schultz for like 20 minutes,
oh,
half hour.
Terrible.
She was fine. She, you know, then I just,
I don't think there's anyone I'd rather less be stuck in a room with.
Could be Pelosi.
Well, yeah.
Could be Larry
Krasner.
That's a
great side question. Maybe we do that some point this
week. Yeah, be stuck in a room with.
Somebody you hate to be stuck in a room with.
So here's what she says, though. There's nobody. The average American's not concerned by what they saw. Polling out, by the way.
It's not only the politics, but it's the accent.
Oh, the accent is brutal. And up close, you know, for quite a while. She had a whole retinue of her aides who also had the same accent,
like a little Joy Behar.
Yeah. It's 72% of Americans say in the CBS YouGov poll that Biden is not fit for the office, meaning he just hasn't cognitive ability, can't do it. They're trying to say, well, it hasn't influenced where we are. Well, one of the, even Drudge recognized this is a polling firm that they poll infrequently. He says this is the polling firm Atlas Intel that is most accurate, and they have Trump leading Biden by 5.2 on full ballot post-debate data is included. The Nate Silver, the 538 group, they project Biden winning, I'm sorry, Trump winning the popular vote at this point. I saw that, not that it matters, I don't care. But wouldn't it be fun to say, oh, we won the popular vote, now what are you going to change? I find that next to impossible. Could Biden have sunk to the level where even with the vast advantage of California and New York and all that stuff, that Trump could win the popular vote? That would be astounding. But that's what Nate Silver predicts. Here's Debbie Wasserman Schultz, though. Don't pay any mind to that. That's just the elites.
This is a conversation, honestly, John, that is taking place among elites.
I just don't think that's true,
that
Congresswoman.
I
was out there. I mean, anyone who was anywhere this weekend.
You don't have to think it's true, but I'm telling you that that's.
But I just think that anyone who was anywhere this weekend talking to anybody, the subject of discussion was the debate and was President Biden's performance. I don't think that that discussion is only members of Congress.
Oh, I don't think it's only members of Congress also, but there are certainly a greater breadth of how I would define elites. I mean, my constituents at home, voters across this country, are not going to be focused on what the New York Times or the Atlanta Journal-Constitution talks about. They're not focused on what, you know, the political elites are hand-wringing about. They're focused on making sure that we can have a president like Joe Biden who continues to fight to bring inflation down, who continues to fight to make sure that we can reshore American jobs like we did with the CHIPS and Science Act. When I'm home among my constituents, they care about the bottom line in their lives. And they care that we don't have a president like Donald Trump was, who tried to overturn the results of a legitimate election, who populated his administration with unethical people and who were focused more on enriching Donald Trump and themselves. And that's the choice. They want to make sure we have a president who is going to have their back, not give the American people the back of his hand, which is what Donald Trump did over and over again. And at the end of the day, we got to stop. We don't have time for this hand-wringing. We have less than 5 months to an election. We have less than 2 months to the convention. We have to double down on organization right now, not on worrying about what happened during a 90-minute debate.
That's the best thing could come up with.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But you have to be both delusional and you have to find some angle, right? I mean, you can't sit there and say, yes, this guy's out, he won't leave. You got to find an angle, as preposterous as it is, and then you just keep saying it. And that was a popular angle over the weekend. It's only a 90-minute debate. Or it's only that one thing there. He answered most of the other questions. Come on now. We're not going to judge a presidency on that. Ludicrous. Rest assured, the polling indicates people saw this and they're not going to forget about it. But I don't want Joe Biden to go. I don't know why we'd be pressing for Joe Biden to go. Not that I'm afraid of Newsom, but the longer Joe, think about it this, the longer Joe Biden stays in, even if he ultimately leaves, the more agita is turned up, the more internally they're killing each other to get there. You have to understand, this is a once-in-a-lifetime shot for probably Newsom, Kamala Harris certainly, to actually be this close to the presidency. So they're, in their own way, undercover, moving heaven and earth. There's turmoil there. Exactly what you don't want when you're running for president. All right, so 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push #1210. Let me take Jack in Drexel Hill first in today. Oh, boy, a whole first hour. No call that we rolled through. Let's go to Jack. All right, Jack, you're first up. What do you have today, Jack?
Well, I just saw the movie yesterday, Tootsie.
Okay.
And that's where Dustin Hoffman played a woman in a soap opera, and then he changed at the last time in the last few minutes of the movie that he took his wig off, and then he was the man. So he was a man. So everybody was shocked and fainting and all that stuff. So I thought maybe that was...
Yeah, that's an exit. Sure, that's an exit. I think...
Can you do it again in 2024?
Mrs. Doubtfire must have copied it then. Same thing. Same principle. Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Tootsie. Both really popular. All right. Yeah, that is an exit.
Was not expecting to hear Tootsie today.
No, not at all.
No.
Okay. We got Scott Presler. Great news. Number down to 357, and each week it's gone down 180 or so. So we'll have one more week, well, 2 weeks to the day, I guess, of Democrats in charge by registration out in Bucks County. What's the best way to commemorate that, to put the spike the football? That? And I talked to DJ about this, Dan. He was infuriated, too, when he sent it to me. You know, going around calling people Karens all the time, I reject that. Sometimes people are doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. Like this 11-year-old kid and his family. I don't know if you saw this, Dan. I know you had a full schedule. He's 11. He's making $100,000 a year riding his bike. Sometimes seems to be motorized in Haverford. And police are not pleased because he's standing on the, you know, standing on the handlebars or putting his head on the seat and doing stuff, and people are driving. And the family and others are calling people Karens because they're concerned about this. You know, how would you like it if, unfortunately, somebody gets in front of you in that manner? You'd have to live with that the rest of your life. Is that being a Karen? Or is that saying, hey, kid, knock it off, and the parents, knock it off? I will tell you about that.
It really annoys me, too, because context-wise, the kid's essentially emulating the crap that we deal with here in Philadelphia, the ATVs and dirt bikes,
exactly.
The bike life.
Yeah.
And they have now this motorized bike that they're dealing with. It needs to be more than just Karens. You're right. Like, this is a cultural thing that we're seeing here. Now, kids are following bad examples.
Yeah, when are you a Karen? Dan, was I a Karen? I told the guy I thought he was writing tickets. Here he was tow trucking. Out here at our media spot. Mm-hmm. I said, there's a lot of vehicles in there that don't belong there. He said, oh, I'll call the ticket person right away. Is that out of bounds, or have we had enough of it?
No, I think it's just we're at our wit's end.
Yeah, exactly. The sign says, press vehicles only. Yeah. Dan Borowski space.
Karen Giordano over here.
Yeah. Clutching my pearls. I'll read what the parents say. Parents of the year here.
Oh, my parking spot.
Don Giordano's show. I guess this was checked by historian Josh Shapiro's son, Dan. Josh Shapiro on Twitter just weighed in. 248 years ago this week, our nation was founded by a group of patriots seeking to free themselves from tyranny in a monarchy that held itself above the law. No one should be above the law in this country. But today, a Supreme Court packed with Donald Trump's handpicked justices, it's called winning an election, Josh, deeply undermined that fundamental tenet of our democracy. We must remain committed to the guiding principles that have made this country a beacon of liberty. We must continue the work of generations of Americans who came before us as we fight to protect our democracy. How many times, buddy? How many times? Dan, on this mountaintop of looking down on us with all these holy principles, he says, our democracy again. Editor's note, our republic, and perfect our union. All right? My God, that's got 23,000 views. Something wrong with America here. All right, so this 11-year-old out in Haverford, Dan, Alex Santa Croce, is a star to some residents and the Haverford police, age 11. He's the neighborhood's primary menace. It's not only that he and his siblings zoom around Maryland Park on bicycles and electric bikes, practicing daredevil tricks in public places and annoying the grown-ups who live nearby. It's also under this professional moniker, One Way Lilman. He's monetized being a kid doing crazy feats on bikes and annoying neighbors. 1.4 million viewers on YouTube, earns roughly $100,000 a year. Often he rides around in a Louis Vuitton half-shell helmet emblazoned with his name. Packages of free gear from sneaker and apparel companies pile up at home. Modern twist to the classic suburban struggle over common space and how kids ought to behave. In private Facebook groups, some neighbors have referred to the family as classless, wondered whether the children riding bikes in the street are feral. Oh, man, the family has repeatedly ended up in court. The father pleaded guilty in 2021 to allowing a child to illegally operate a bicycle. I think it's motorized, but the chief declined to comment. Situation has been escalating. Dan, electric bikes. See, the menace of these. We see it out here in Center City with a bike lane. You know, an electric bike.
So I'm looking at, I think it's just a standard bike, and I'm kind of leaning more towards maybe this is Karen territory.
For no, it's electric.
Yeah, but even if it's electric, it's not making noise.
No, it's not the noise. It's more the speed. And he's doing these things.
So he's doing the crap, like when you drive up, okay.
Yeah.
Like, there have been times when I'm driving up Delaware Ave, and you're like in the ongoing lane that you're going the right direction, and you have a bunch of three or four teenage kids riding towards you doing a wheelie, and then the last second they swerve out of the way, but it looks like they're going to hit you.
Well, I don't even know if they're doing that, but Dan, I don't want some menace around me where something happens and unfortunately we have an accident with. I don't want that on my conscience. That's why police are trying to stop it. That's why we have safety rules. Are safety rules Karen's, or do we have them for the reason you swerve and you miss them, you kill somebody else? You know what I mean? That's what the danger is. It's not the noise. I don't think they're being...
See, I thought he was emulating, like, he was riding a dirt bike, a mini dirt bike around the, you know...
No, but it's more of a speed, and it's tricks and things like that. Suppose he miscalculates a little bit, and you swerve, or you hit him. I mean, it's illegal for... I don't think it's legal. That's not legal activity. If you want to do that, you got to do it in a field somewhere, right? Do it where you can't hit anybody or be hit. And then if you want to do that, Dan, and you want to risk your life and the parents are okay, oh, well, okay. Doing it on a public street, though, is not right because it involves everybody else. I think that's what their argument is. You don't buy that? You can tell me. You think that's being a Karen?
I think it's a Karen for talking purely just BMX. I don't know. Like, the kid... You know what? When I was a kid, I was riding on the sidewalks. I wasn't riding towards vehicles doing wheelies, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, I think they have a right to complain. And sorry, I'm doing some, you know, digging here, and I'm on the YouTube channel now, and it looks like the kid also does ride dirt bikes and, you know, yeah. other things as well. So it's not just...
Well, right. And if you want to do it, Dan, and again, if they complained and said, well, this kid's going to injure himself and all, I would say, you know what? That's up to the parents. I know we have laws on that. That's negligence. But that's up to the parents. But if he's doing it where you are driving on public streets, that's a different thing. That's the only point I'd make. I just get a little bit, it's so easy to call everybody a Karen. There's certain things that just are not right.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, there are so many things that if you look around, it's like the fabric's being torn from society. And it's just we're enabling it by brushing it off as Karen behavior to complain about it.
Right. And you know what this is too, Dan? I'll say this, maybe. The suburbs has a certain boundary thing. That's why they're suburbs. They don't want this. If this happened where you were or where I am in Germantown, we'd complain about it, but the cops would go, what are we going to do about it? In the suburbs, you know what they're saying? No, no, no. You're not doing that here.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I've seen elevate from a Karen issue into becoming a real issue, and you don't hear it talked about as much anymore because I think the suburbs actually got a quash on it. That's mm-hmm. the boom parties that you'd hear up and down the river. And
yeah.
Remember when we first started talking about the boom parties, there was a lot of pushback, like, oh, look at these Karens complaining about the loud music. But then people realized, well, there are houses being shook with babies right. not being able to sleep, and there's a lot of issues here that come with this, and we shouldn't be enabling these criminals who have these loud systems with this noise, you know, right. pollution. But, and
one note to your point, I don't know if you got it. I got it from the Burlington County representative out there, Dan. It's back again, the boom part. They're complaining to Sherelle Parker. Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's stop throwing the Karen stuff around too freely. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want a kid doing that around me. I'm scared to death I'm going to hit him.
People complaining about retail theft Karens. Oh, you're a Karen for complaining. This is, you know, they're corporate greed anyway. Who cares?
Aren't there bigger things in the world?
Insurance is going to cover it.
Now, I think the suburbs are saying, look, we enforce quality of life. If you don't like it, go live in a city where they don't. That's a big difference. So you move to the suburbs from Port Richmond, and I think you're happier with the vibe there, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Than Port Richmond.
Yeah. I mean, Port Richmond was great. It was awesome living in the city, being able to walk down the street to get groceries or something like that. But
yeah,
safety-wise, the week after we moved out, right around the block, there was a shooting, you know? And
exactly.
my wife, who we hope to have children soon, I don't want a pregnant wife walking around that. It's quality.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Mike in Hamilton. Mike, good afternoon to you. Yeah, Mike.
Good afternoon, Don.
Hi, Mike.
Good. Hi. Hey. I don't know what it is that we don't understand about the term motor vehicle. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's an electric motor or a gas motor. It's still a motorized vehicle, and it should be subject to motor vehicle laws, one of which is that you have to be a certain age in order to operate a motor vehicle on roads.
Mike, that is a great point. And next time I have the police commissioner and I get him off air, I didn't want to bring up everything at once. We had him last week. You have to be out here where we are, 24th and Chestnut. It's downhill. It's curved. I mean, really downhill with no traffic lights. And you have people in the bike lane on motorized electric vehicles. Dan, they have helmets on, these guys, like motorcycle helmets, driving food. Mike, they might be going 30, 35 down around the curve here. It's not meant for a bike lane.
Dom, some of those things can do 45. Mile an hour.
Yeah.
So the citation you're saying here is actually kind of what kicked off the whole Karen debate, because in April, police mailed a citation to the Santa Croce home for driving an unregistered vehicle, as you mentioned. It was noted a red electric-powered bike, and the Santa Croce's said that while they said the police examined carefully a visit to their home, it does not require registration, their vehicle that their son was driving, so they planted that, quote, my neighbor is a Karen flag, and the mom started getting calls from friends and coworkers. I heard there was a police raid on your street. She was upset by what seemed to be an outside unneighborly reaction from her neighbors.
Yeah, right. Dan, you know what? Yep. Officially, if you can get them on, I think this would be a pretty good guess.
And I got an exit.
Who's your exit, Mike?
Okay. I'm watching this show called Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And one of the last scenes, you see Walter White out in the desert with a, I guess it's a military-style machine gun, and he's got this contraption where the machine gun is going back and forth. And I'm thinking, what the hell is he doing now? And then in the final scene, you see, and he uses it in the back of a Cadillac, rips the Cadillac practically in half with this thing going back and forth, and he kills all the bad guys, including himself. So he took everybody out, and he knew he was going to die too, but that was his exit.
That's a great exit. It's one of my favorites. Yeah, that the Breaking Bad delivers big time there. Particularly Jesse killing the, like, Andy Griffith, Andy of Mayberry bad guy, Todd.
It's a lot of great exits there.
Yeah, yeah, the tremendous.
Situation around the girlfriend. And
oh, yeah.
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 Just a quote from the mom.
Yes.
Quote, my husband does all their plumbing up there, gesturing to the part of the neighborhood where she guessed police calls came from. Yeah, she was disappointed.
All right, Dan, here's your work, your magic. I think they'd be a great guest. It'd be a little change-up from all the national
politics.
So
police were actually asked, and they had six incidents involving this kid. Quote, what I'm actually concerned about is having to show up at somebody's house to tell them that their kid got killed while doing stupid things on a bike, Joe Hagan, Haverford Deputy Chief of Police, told
Story
Mag.
He's a Karen.
We take it seriously because of that, and because the people who move here do so because they want to live in a quiet neighborhood.
That's the line, too, Dan. You know what? And that's where police judgment comes in. Which one do you want? Do you want a quiet neighborhood or not? That's what the suburbs are about. Now, can it go too far? Do you get Karens? I don't think this is a good Karen story. You know, the Karen, Dan, was that white woman complaining about the guy bird watching in Central Park who was black. That was a Karen story. You know, it's the type of stuff. But man, this and Haverford's a very nice place, Dan, so I can imagine. The sister, according to the Inquirer, injured herself, face planted. In front of people on a bike also. You don't have a right on public streets to do this. Do it somewhere. Well, that takes away the thrill of it, I guess, right?
Apparently. All right. An 8-year-old or 11-year-old needs the thrill of riding on a public street.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, Scott Presler. A lot happening with him. He is up next here on Talk Radio 1210. Down to 357, right? Or is it that's a number I saw you holding up today on Twitter.
Yes, so those numbers are accurate as of today. I mean, it's kind of like a ritual that every Monday, you know, we're refreshing the Pennsylvania voter registration data page, just anxiously awaiting. And to give people context, again, why this is so important, Bucks County, Philadelphia, suburban county, voted for Hillary Clinton, voted for Joe Biden. 4 years ago, in June of 2020, there were 15,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. And as of today, that number is down to 357. That is a political earthquake in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And this is being the same kind of thing is happening statewide.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, so Luzerne County, that's in northeast Pennsylvania, that number at the beginning of the year was 4,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans, and now it is just under 2,000 at 1,937. So I believe even by November of this year, we may also flip Luzerne County. Last year, we flipped Beaver County, and where Penn State University is, the biggest campus, that number is hovering around 1,200. You know, so to anybody that's saying, oh, the youth are supporting, you know, Joe Biden's unaffordable policies and Joe Biden's wars and Joe Biden's open border at the southern border, I'm just finding the opposite is true. And young people, I think, are trending to the right in a very big way.
Scott, without a doubt. Now, I saw you, too, in the wake of the debates and in the wake of the debacle with the Bidens over the weekend and today's immunity decision, saying, though, that now is the time to push forward even harder, pedal to the metal. It's winnable. You ought to be inspired. It's there. But you're the ultimate guy seizing on that to have people want to be out there and working. Just the people that were part of your entourage that we had at Mulligan's, those two guys and others that you have that have volunteered, it's My wife told me. The one guy came up, hey, I know you're Dom's wife, but are you registered to vote? Right away, right into it.
I love that. I love that. Well, and, you know, I want people to know I'm not just asking you guys to go and register voters and write postcards and knock on doors and make phone calls, but I am right there side by side with you leading the charge. And the reason why I sound a little hoarse and I'm so gosh darn tired is, I mean, I just spent this entire weekend at the Big Butler, Big Butler Fair in Butler County, Pennsylvania, which is just on the line of Allegheny County. And let me tell you, Dom, in the last 3 days, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but it really is. In the last 3 days, we registered over 81 voters in just the time that I was there at the Butler Fair. And the majority of these people are young, or the majority of these people, here's the fascinating thing, these are first-time voters. And I mean, I'm not talking, no offense to spring chickens. These are people that have been on our earth for quite some time, and they have never, ever voted, but they realize that our country is going to heck. They realize that they can't afford anything. They realize that if we don't elect Donald Trump this November, we're not going to have a future. We're going to be a great experiment that ended around the same time that every other great civilization did. And so I think it's really inspiring people. And the kicker was Friday was the first day of the fear. It was the day after the debate. And let me tell you, people were on fire. Everyone had watched the debate. They watched that Donald Trump was poised, professional, and dare I say presidential. And they saw that Joe Biden, even after 12 minutes in to the debacle of his performance, I posted on X, I said, this is over. 12 minutes in, it's done. Joe Biden is cooked.
Yeah, absolutely. That's precisely, Scott, when it happened. And Scott, just maybe a spinoff, too, of what you directly do. NBC News National, very worried because in places like Pennsylvania, they say, the GOP has been successful in recruiting poll monitors from suburban areas to monitor the vote in Democratic cities. And they mentioned several of the swing states where you have been. And I want people to know that this is happening. This isn't made up. That's the ultimate, to get people to also come and monitor the polls on Election Day.
Well, I'll get to that in one moment, but I want people to really be encouraged. I mean, I have been doing this for a decade, and, you know, usually it's a lot of hand-holding. Usually I got to call Dom Giordano, and I got to make sure that you know where you're going, and I have to confirm with you. And let me tell you, even just yesterday, while I was at the Big Butler Fair, you had Nicole Freed, who, by the way, is a mom of 15. She's a mom of 15, and she still has time to volunteer. And if she can volunteer, and her husband, Jamie,
get the kids out there,
anybody
yeah.
can volunteer, yeah. right? Yeah. So they were at Jake's Farmers Market in Berks County, Pennsylvania, while my great buddy Caleb Landis and Sam Feely, they were registering voters at a fireworks festival up in the Erie Crawford area. And yes, this election ultimately is going to come down to a select few swing counties and a select few swing states. So you got Clark County, which is Las Vegas, Nevada. You got Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, Arizona. You got Milwaukee, of course, where the RNC convention is going to be held, and I will be there in 2 weeks' time. You have Allegheny County, which is Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. You got Philly, of course, which is also in Pennsylvania. And then you have some kind of second-tier states, like, you know, Virginia is in play. And so you have Fairfax County, Loudoun County. Then you've got, you know, perhaps even Minnesota, and that's the Twin Cities, the St. Paul area. So to anyone that goes, Scott or Dom, my vote doesn't count, my vote doesn't matter, it's the big cities that control everything, I say no, now more than ever. Oh my gosh, if you live in one of those big cities that I just mentioned, we need you now literally more than ever to register voters. And I'll tell you one last thing. Remember, Butler, where the fair is just north of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, the majority of young people that we register to vote that are coming out for Donald Trump are all from Pittsburgh, are all from Allegheny. And I'm telling you, I think there is a realignment happening all over the country.
Well, you're on the front of it, the tip of the spear, Scott. And what do people do to get involved with Scott Presler and to do some of this work in ways that they can be helpful?
Well, I really need your help, guys. Look, we're 357 voters from Flipping Bucks County. And I want to be able to post on social media for Laura Trump, the RNC co-chair, to see heading into the RNC convention in Milwaukee that we have flipped Bucks County from blue to red. You can download my application, Early Vote Action, that you can make phone calls, send text messages, write postcards from the comfort of your home, or if you're local. If you're in New Jersey and you want to, you know, cross the border into Pennsylvania to help Bucks County, we have door knocking available. And also, I would be remiss to say, if you are not able to help in those ways, but you're able to help financially, we really need your financial support. We need your resources. You can contribute now, today, at earlyvoteaction.com. That's earlyvote, V-O-T-E, action.com. And your financial support would be greatly appreciated.
Scott, thank you. Onward and upward. Thank you, Scott Presler.
Thanks, boys.
Scott Presler here on Talk Radio 1210, an intermediate goal, Dan, to flip Bucks County as a prize as the Republicans bang the hammer down by Monday night, 2 weeks from today. Doable, down to 357. Wow, I wonder what the Democrats are doing out there in their bunker in Bucks County, Dan. You know, they're supposed to be the bastion of anti-Donald Trump stuff. How could all these people be registering and moving over to the Republican side? That's what's happening.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.